wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on a Wednesday. Oklahoma, where the winds go sweeping around. I can't sing, but I know what I know when it comes to the playoff rankings and the committee. Oklahoma is the key for me. That was the team I was looking at on Tuesday night as to what did they think of the Sooners. Yeah, I know what they think of LSU and Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State. I didn't expect much to change in the top four. I was a little curious about Ohio State being number one, but Oklahoma was the key to me because it says much more about the Big 12 than it does about any individual team. And don't get me wrong here. They like the Big 12. They've had the Big 12 ranked, and a number of teams have hit the rankings over the season from the conference. Oklahoma State is there. Oklahoma's there. Baylor is there. Kansas State. State had been ranked. Texas had been ranked. They've had a number of teams ranked throughout the season. Oklahoma at 9-1 after beating an unbeaten Baylor team who wasn't getting the kind of respect that the committee was giving. Where would they vault? How could they vault into a crowded field at the top? And they didn't. And now the question is becoming, is this the ceiling for Oklahoma? Meaning, is this it? Is it a New Year's Six game or nothing? I mean, is there a path for the Sooners to get in despite, I mean, look, 9-1 and they could be the conference champion, and their only loss coming on the road to Kansas State, which really, to be honest with you, isn't all that terrible. I know, you know, like Kansas State isn't a hugely ranked team or anything. They were at one point, they were in the top 25 near the bottom, but if you have a one-loss team that's a conference champion, how does it get into a crowded field with an LSU, a Georgia? If Georgia should win the SEC, there's no chance, right? You got Clemson out of the ACC, possibly Ohio State, maybe even Penn State out of the Big Ten. If Penn State should win this weekend over the Buckeyes, the Sooners' ceiling may be about where they're at, needing some chaos at the top. But even chaos is not going to happen. It's too late in the season for that. That was the things Tuesday night I was watching, and if I'm a Sooner fan, I'm really not digging it. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, something interesting happened on Twitter last night. Besides the fact that you can tweet us at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver.
Yeah, you can.
With two N's.
you're saying that wasn't the
That is
part?
The best that's, part of Twitter.
That's the best part of Twitter.
Is being able to tweet us your love or hatred, depending on how you do it.
And actually, you got a nice little tweet yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I got a winner send me a picture of a car with mice dancing in celebration that I was home so they could build a nest in my car.
Fantastic.
This is great artwork, by the way. This was really, really, really good.
I mean, do you think she grabbed it from somewhere else, or
I don't know.
It just seems kind of weird.
I don't
want
to know. It was a nice gift.
Yeah, she had a picture of. I'm curious to know why she has a picture of a car of a house with mice dancing.
Mice dancing, right?
I'm a little curious about that.
Had a nice little woohoo! Tony's home. We can build a nest now. That's funny. Yeah, I had a
what
mouse
are you doing
nest
just having
in
that
my
picture
car.
Lying around there, Winter.
I still can't believe. I still. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
Yeah, I'm going. It's got to be a mouse or a rat. It can't be
That's
a bird.
Right. It can't. It's not a bird. Yeah,
it's not a bird.
I figured we eliminated. We actually talked about it. Yeah, it's like we eliminated bird, right? There's no way a bird built it. So now it's a nest.
Yeah.
It was got to be a mouse.
Yeah, a rat's nest.
And I, like I said yesterday when I told the story, it's like the mice were just like waiting around going, oh, well, I usually gets home at this time. And you know what, Joe, you get the other twigs and we'll jump in real quick as soon as he goes in to get a bite to eat. And that guy eats a lot, so he won't be back out here for a couple of hours. So we'll have plenty of time to continue the construction.
See, Tony, I like to imagine that there was a whistle sound at the end of the workday. And then they grab their, you know, the metal lunch pail.
That's right.
And they see just head on home.
See you tomorrow. We'll be back about the same time. Yep. Yeah, about the same time.
How's that new condo treating you?
So anyway, on Twitter yesterday, J.J. Watt gave out a phone number. We kind of speculated it's not his real phone number.
Yeah.
That, you know, they set up a phone number account. I mean,
he changed it right away.
Right away. But just went on Twitter and gave out a number and said, you know, send us a text. Apparently over 25,000 people sent him a text, which is really great.
You know how I know it was going to be a big deal when our local news had, you know, was flashing the number on the screen, too. I was like, yeah, there it is. Great.
Sure enough.
There it is.
Sure enough. Okay, let me ask a question, though. And I love J.J. Watt, so I really don't want to be misconstrued here as I'm not trying to hate on this, but this seems like a little push for attention.
You think?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing with the 25,000? Like, in the end, what are you doing with them?
Well, that's what he said in the video.
Right?
He said, you know, he knew that he wouldn't be able to get to them all.
Right, but was he getting to any?
Oh, come on. You know,
like he's a few.
He's getting to a few here and there. He's got to, right?
And doesn't that also let you, when you do that, especially a guy like J.J. Watt that's sort of, how do I put this, popular with the ladies, and he's isn't he married already now?
Nah, he's got a fiance.
Fiance. Doesn't it lend to inappropriate texts for a relationship?
Well, see, what I'm wondering is if it's just a text line, not something that's linked up to a phone, because you can create a text line.
Okay,
that goes straight to your computer.
Very good. That's true. Very
so
true.
So I'm thinking it's along those lines.
Okay. It's like when I hear people, like I hear athletes who would like personally write back people in fan mail. I'm like, how do you have time to do that? Like, how do you have time? How does 25,000 texts, how do you go through 1,000? How do you go through 500?
I don't know.
Because you're not just getting, JJ, you're the man, thanks for all you do. Like, you're getting, JJ, let me tell you a story. My son played football when he was 6 years old and got his arm broken. Then he went, and then he just this long story about how JJ inspired him to get healthy and come back and play well. And it's 4 or 5 paragraphs deep. And you know he's probably like, right, I get it. I was an inspiration. Hey, good luck to your son. Awesome. Here's a jersey. Whatever it is. Like, that's a lot of people to go through. Or is it just to see how many he could possibly get over a period of time? Just to say, hey, I got 50,000 people responding to this thing. I mean, there could have been, he could have gotten 2 million for all I know. I mean, that's a lot.
He probably has by now.
Probably by now.
I mean, yeah, there's, I have to assume, because I mean, even if it's on a phone, I mean, wouldn't that jam the phone? I mean, I have no clue.
Yeah, they must have set up something.
So, I mean, it's got to be like a text thread, a text line that goes directly to an email account. I mean, we should set one up for us.
No kidding.
I'm sure no one wants to call. People tweet us, but you know,
well, people tweet us, but not everybody's on Twitter. And if you are, you know, whether you know you listen to the show and you want to make a point, you're like, I'm not on Twitter. I don't want to get on Twitter. It would be nice to have a text line where people can just text us.
I think we need to do that just because I want to push for people to tweet while driving.
Yeah, right, because that's totally we're into that. So,
yeah. Just, you know, it's practice safe driving. That's what it is.
You know, with the Mr. Rogers movies coming out with Tom Hanks?
Yeah, which, by the way, that was there is a bad story with that.
What happened?
I couldn't find a decent sound clip of it. But yesterday on Jeopardy. Oh, we almost had two Jeopardy stories back to back, you know, day in a row.
Right.
But yesterday on Jeopardy, a category came up, pretty much showed a clip of Tom Hanks as Mr. Rogers. I'm not entirely sure what the actual answer was because, you know, you have to form it into a question. But it had something to do with this beloved actor, and all three contestants could see the screen, could see the clip, and just, you know, pretty much named this beloved actor, and not one of them could name Tom Hanks.
Well, that's amazing.
So I'm on two fences here. Either you had the dumbest three people on the planet, right? Because Tom Hanks, I mean, literally isn't everything. He's recognizable. Or Tom Hanks is doing such a good job that they probably thought they were looking at Fred Rogers.
That's possible. Tom Hanks is now getting into becoming that actor that is being seen in. He plays real people.
Yeah.
Now he was Sullinger, the airline pilot. He was
Walt Disney.
He's now Captain Fred Phillips. Rogers, Captain Phillips. He's playing real people now. So
yeah. The Jim Lovell.
Jim Lovell, that's right.
I think I watched too many Tom Hanks movies. Yeah, right. Maybe Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump was a real guy. Right. Saw all the video clips.
Back to Fred Rogers for a second. Fred Rogers did something similar where he didn't, you know, Daniel the Tiger.
Yes.
You know, he's doing the show, and out of nowhere, Fred is doing the voice and says as Daniel Tiger to the kids, "My birthday is tomorrow. If you'd like to come and help me celebrate it." And like the next day there was lines like three blocks down, like kids showing up to the studio where it was being filmed, and they didn't realize, oh crap, we have a popular TV show. Like we didn't know if anybody was actually watching this thing. But JJ knows he's popular, right? JJ knows he's getting 100,000, whatever it is on these texts, or whatever text line he sets up. He knows he's getting that kind of thing. He knows he can't answer all of them. So why do this?
Well,
like in the end, why do this? If you're only going to reach out to a handful of people, really in the end, you don't have time to answer. You don't have time to answer 400 people, let alone a million. So what's the point? Why do this?
Well, let's
to show you're popular?
Let's have JJ explain it.
All right.
So I was talking to one of my buddies the other day, and we were talking about social media, the way it's used, how to connect with fans, some of the negativity, things like that. And he brought up to me, he said, "Have you seen the new thing people are doing?" And I said, "What is it?" He said, "Texting directly with the fans." And I didn't know a lot about it. And he said, "Yeah, so you give them a number and they can text directly to you and you can try and respond. Obviously you're not going to get to everybody, but you can try and respond. And, you can send out a text to everybody. You can send out a text to just a few people. You can respond to just one person." And I thought it was interesting. So I figured I'm going to try it. I've never done it before. I have no experience with it. So you're going to have to bear with me. I'm not sure if it's going to be awesome. I'm not sure if I'm not going to be able to get to anybody. So I'm going to give it a shot. And if you want to try and text me, it's just a way for me to try and connect more directly with you. Feel free. It's 262-404-3664. Text me.
That's all right. That makes sense. But at the same time, that's just a big data mine.
Yeah.
Right. So now he's got a whole bunch of numbers that if JJ's going to appear somewhere or sell something or promote something, he's got now thousands and thousands and thousands of people he can directly hit on the text.
Is he not getting enough love on, through the social media?
Sure.
No, I mean, through Facebook Twitter or Instagram.
When he talks about, here's the thing, and I'm sorry to disagree with him on this. When he says, "Oh, yeah, social media, but here's a new way to do it." It's Twitter. It's the same thing. It's just this is more open to people who aren't on Twitter.
Yeah.
People can directly tweet you a thing on Twitter and you can respond back.
But you're absolutely right. This is for people who aren't on Twitter and you make the announcement on Twitter.
Right. Good point.
I mean,
good
obviously point. News stations like, here locally in Houston, they decide to run the story and go, "Oh, look, hey, you guys can text JJ Watt. You're all big fans."
Right.
Give him
right,
a big
right.
thank you. Maybe a blow a kiss to him or whatever.
Right.
Fluff his ego anymore. And let's face it, he's not doing anything right now. He's sitting.
No, that's a great point. He's not doing anything right now. That's a good point. You know what? He's not doing anything. He's out. He's injured. He's got nothing to do.
Yeah.
So,
he's got the pass.
You know what?
So can we?
Hold on. I take that back. He does have time to get to 3,000 people. Yeah.
Everybody.
You're right.
Here's something we got to try. Can we text him during the next Texans game?
And see if he responds?
Yeah. Would he be sitting at home or is he going to be, because he's not traveling with the team anymore,
no.
So maybe a road game. He might go to NRG Stadium for a home game.
What if you're one of the lucky few? See, if I was a big celebrity, this is what I would do. I would, every now and then, I would take that phone and I would immediately respond to people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, look, I would let it, there would be times where I would just let it collect, and then there would be times where I'm like, I'm going to make somebody's day. I'm going to immediately respond as if what they were sending me is right on my mind. Like, I'm sitting there going, "Oh, hey, Joe and Katie. Well, yeah, absolutely. Joe, I agree. They should have ran the ball on third down."
What about this?
Can you imagine flipping out that J.J. Watt sent you a text?
What if you decided one lucky fan or maybe two lucky fans? You're going to do a dialogue with them.
Oh, that, yes.
Just going back and forth.
See, that's wide open, right? Where you'd be like, hey, J.J., what do you think of Deshaun Watson throwing that interception? Well, J.J. is a great person. He's a good leader. He just misread that route. I disagree. I think he needs to make that throw. Well, I obviously know him a little better, and let me tell you, he works really hard at it. All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute, what's happening here? What am I doing?
I mean, how fantastic
am I having a conversation with J.J. Watt about the Texans game?
Listen, I said this a long time ago. I went to an air show a long time ago with an actual military pilot. He was an active duty military pilot, and it was my brother and I, and we still talk about to this day that was the best air show we ever saw because we got so much insight on what the pilots were actually doing flying the jets around. Because this guy does it for a living. That was his living. And it was also extremely comical because of the planes, because he was an F-18 pilot. He would make fun of all the other pilots and point out everything that was wrong.
That is pretty cool.
What those planes are.
All right, coming up, a little quick look at Week 12 in the NFL. Some early thoughts, a big game coming up on Thursday night. It's got a little bit of an importance, speaking of the Texans, that's coming up. And then we'll get into some college football with Ben Kercheval coming up this hour. Playoff rankings are out. That's next, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. That's right.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Ben Kercheval, CBS Sports, joins us in about 12 minutes. We'll talk to him about the college football situation with the playoff rankings. And the big games coming up, Penn State and Ohio State coming up this weekend. Western Carolina and Alabama. It's a big game coming up this weekend. Don't forget that one. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
Can you help explain something to me?
Yeah.
I've been seeing these stories. I just haven't read into it. Maybe you have. Why is Ohio State boycotting game day?
I don't know. I saw that and I didn't get the details behind it.
Yeah. I just said they're boycotting game. Does anyone know why?
Kirk Herbstreit.
Well, he's an alum, isn't he?
No, they don't like him.
They don't like him.
He moved to Nashville.
And
his story is that he was no, because he's critical.
Should
of
we
Ohio
not
State.
Like you? You moved
Hold
to
on.
Nashville.
No, wait. Let me finish before you jump to massive conclusions. He lived in Columbus.
Should
he
hate did all people from Nashville.
He did a radio show from Columbus. He lived in Columbus. He said it got. He was, I believe he said it just got so hot because he would criticize Ohio State when Ohio State was worth criticizing that he said, enough, and I'm moving to Tennessee. I'm getting out of here. So maybe there's some disconnects.
I don't know, but he's lived
in Nashville for a while, and I think they've been there a couple of times since that went down.
Yeah, but that seems really petty.
No, it is really. What, moving to Nashville?
For Aiden, they moved to Nashville all these years later. That you're going to still boycott college game day.
I think, people are. Look, there's a story about the Penn State quarterback, Sean Clifford, getting death threats because they lost to Minnesota. People are nuts.
Well, I get that people are nuts, but I mean, it's just college. They're boycotting college game day because they're too lazy to make signs.
I think they're boycotting. Yeah, no, that's probably true. They might be boycotting college game day because they said something about Ohio. Who knows? You know, the problem is this is why. Let me tell you something. This is what's going on in college with college football, is that it's so difficult. Okay, I'm going to restart this because I'm going to try to phrase this in a better way. When people talk about the difference between college football and the NFL, and they go, "Oh, the pro game, man, stinks. I hate the NFL. College game is so much better." College games locally are so much better, but the ratings for even the big national games pale in comparison to the big NFL games, right? The college football playoffs, for example, don't get nearly the ratings that the AFC and NFC championship games. The NFL is very national. And the reason it is that it's more national is because there is a sense that even if you're a Steelers fan like I am, you do care about Seattle and San Francisco. That if you are a Patriots fan, for example, you do care about what the Houston Indianapolis game is going to be on Thursday night. There is some sort of continuity in it all. Right? That there is some connection to everything. That even if you're in an AFC, the NFC does matter to you. There's fantasy football implications. Obviously, there's betting, and that transfers both sports. But the reality of it is, because there's only 32 teams, and these games matter, and there's a playoff race that leads to postseason standings and whatnot, that there is a level of value that's given across the board in the NFL to the average NFL fan that just doesn't happen in college football. I know people in this state where I live here in Tennessee that love college football but could not name two players that play in the Pac-12. Not one. I know a bunch of them like that. I know a bunch of them that don't think football is played any decently at all above the Mason-Dixon line and don't even acknowledge the existence of a team like Ohio State. There is a regionality to college football that is so deep compared to what goes on in the NFL. And that's why the NFL has such a broad appeal. You can throw Monday Night Football on, right? We all as a country can sit down and watch it. It doesn't matter if you have a rooting interest in the game or not. You can just watch Monday Night Football. But college football, if you put Penn State on against Oregon on a Monday night game, you know, some people don't even watch it because they don't care about Big Ten and they don't care about Pac-12. They care about the SEC or they care about the ACC or they care about their local team. And that's really it. So locally, regionally, college football is big in certain areas, but nationally, it's not the same as the NFL. So the problem with that is that because of that, you get spoiled as a fan when you think the entire country is paying attention to your program when they really aren't. And they should be paying attention to your program and they really aren't. And then you get bitter and angry and you lash out and you wonder why you're not getting respected and nobody believes in us and because you don't feel like there's the same level of conversation nationally that you deserve to be having. Right? I talk about this with the Heisman Trophy all the time. There are people in the old days, now it's a lot easier because of cable and the vast majority of games are available to just about everybody, but you would vote regionally, then you would vote nationally, and every now and then a player nationally would pop up, and then you would say, oh, well, okay, I may be covering the Washington Huskies, but I do have to pay attention to what's going on at Georgia, or Florida, or Penn State, or Notre Dame, or whatever. But mostly it's used to vote the guys you would know, and then you would vote the guys that were getting sort of the national attention. So you can see where people can get really upset when they feel dissed, because they don't see the diss, right? I have found in my personal experience, and this is just me, okay? So I know everybody's got a different level of experience. Ron, I feel like I could go to a Charger fan like you, and we could have an honest conversation about the Chargers' woes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But if I go to, you know, we can say Philip Rivers is struggling, this coaching stinks, et cetera, et cetera.
How much time you have?
But if I'm an outsider and I go to Florida and I start criticizing Dan Mullen, there's a protective nature.
Oh yeah,
that occurs a lot more than fans of NFL teams.
I decided to read one of these articles talking about the boycott, and it pretty much is everything you're saying. That the reason why they're wanting to boycott is because ESPN has had a love affair with the SEC.
So they love Alabama, and they love Auburn, they love LSU, and they don't love them as much as they feel they should be loved.
The second thing is that they feel the only reason why they're even coming is because it's a big weekend for the Big Ten, Ohio State, Penn State, and the SEC is pretty much playing all cupcake.
Good. That's legit.
And one more on top of it. There's going to be three big shows going on there, including ESPN will be the Big Ten Network, obviously. That's their game. And Fox will be there. And one of the analysts for Fox is Urban Meyer.
Oh!
So that's another reason why people are saying boycott that. Go see Urban Meyer instead.
Gotcha.
That kind of makes a little more sense.
That's
but
right.
I kept seeing this flash. I'm like, boycott.
Right. That's good research. Good research. Ben Kercheval will join us from CBS Sports next. What did he think of the rankings that really didn't show anything? Maybe he's got something next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We're looking to hook up with Ben Kercheval, CBS Sports, coming up to talk about the college football rankings from yesterday and the overall state of the game heading into the final weeks of the year. As I was talking about this earlier, I said this at the top of the hour, I think the big question to me was Oklahoma, only because where the ceiling is for the Big 12. If you're talking about the SEC champion going in, and that could be LSU, and the ACC champion, and that's Clemson, the Big Ten champion, well, right now that looks like it's Ohio State who's favored. Well, Pac-12 wants to get in the dance. Does the Big 12 have a chance to get in the dance if knocking anybody out? Yeah, it needs some work. I mean, there's a whole bunch of teams ahead of the one-loss Oklahoma Sooners, despite the fact that Jalen Hurts is having a fantastic year. They have incredible offense. It's putting up some numbers. They have this road loss to Kansas State, and it hasn't been an impressive set for Oklahoma. Now, Oregon and Utah, it's intriguing to me because they could be on a collision course with the Pac-12 title. And the winner of that, if they remain unbeaten all the way through into that game, meaning they're both with one loss heading into that game, one of those could be getting in. It makes Alabama's situation very, very touchy because Alabama is not going to be playing championship weekend. And because of that, they have to make the last thing you see of them very impressive. And that means going to Jordan-Hare Stadium and beating Auburn by a ton, I think. Like I've been saying a lot, I think Auburn is one of the look, we always define teams as two-loss teams, one-loss team, three-loss team. And Auburn right now is the highest-ranked three-loss team, but I don't look at them as a three-loss team. I look at them as a team that's very, very good. I think their defense is fantastic. They haven't given up 24 points in any of their games this year, and that includes LSU. LSU's rolling over everybody. The defense is really stepping up. They're only allowing 17.5 points per game. That's a tough defense. Now, if Alabama goes there, and just hypothetically here, if they go out there and they put up 47 or 46 points, and they're the outlier to the season, right, that Auburn has had with the defense that is limiting opponents in scoring, and Alabama is the outlier, then that's the last thing you'll remember from the Crimson Tide. And then we get to championship weekend. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to, if you're the committee, you're going to start processing what is in front of you. And is there room, because there may not be, is there room to take a team that did not play in the conference championship? Now, that's different from a team that won its conference championship. And I'm looking at Georgia LSU. So you would have to put Alabama to the side if you're the committee. So let's say they beat on the 30th, they beat Auburn and they beat them handedly. They beat them 48-20. Okay. So it's impressive. Mac Jones looks great. You don't feel like they should be diminished at all because of the Tua injury. So you put them off to the side. Now you got to wait till everything shakes itself out, right? Georgia, LSU in Atlanta. How does that play itself out? Okay. What if Georgia wins? All right. Now you have no room. Right now you have no room because you're putting both of those SEC schools in there. Right? So now let's say LSU wins. Well, Georgia's two losses knock them out. Alabama's considered? Yes, depending on some other things. Does Clemson win out? Yes. Does Clemson lose? Well, if they lose, they're out. Now there's room again. Right? Well, what about Oregon and Utah? And it could come down to that. Because right now, Alabama's ahead of both of those schools. But what happens when they have the extra game? And Alabama doesn't. What Alabama needs is to get two games worth of value out of one. Not necessarily against Western Carolina, but against Auburn. They need to have that two value game where it's so impressive that it's hard to ignore. so that when it's all said and done, you are honestly looking at yourself in the committee room and saying, hey, you know what? We have the four best teams, and one of them didn't play in championship weekend. And that's gonna matter. But to me, I find this very, very difficult because I'm looking at the top and I'm saying, okay, we're getting close to the end of the season. We've got 2 weeks to the regular season, and then, of course, we've got the championship games. While a lot can still happen here, there is also a feeling, at least from the standpoint, that there's a lot of things that just may go the way we think that they're going to go. Right? I think LSU runs the table, goes unbeaten, and finishes out and beats Georgia for the SEC championship. I think Ohio State wins out. Even though they might get a fight from Penn State, I think they win out and they go unbeaten and they're in. I think Clemson goes undefeated and they're in. Now you've got that extra slot, and that extra slot right now is going to be tough. It's going to be tough to pick between Alabama and a one-loss Pac-12 team that won the conference championship. And also, again, I hate to say this, but I wish Oklahoma was more in this conversation. Now, you may say, Tony, they might be, because if Penn State loses this week in Ohio State, here's a chance for Oklahoma to jump. They'll play TCU on Saturday, so here's a chance for Oklahoma to jump. Oregon and Utah, one of them is going to lose if they were to meet in the conference champions. There's another chance for Oklahoma to jump. Oklahoma beats Baylor again for a Big 12 title. There's another opportunity for them to jump. But sitting there with Alabama, you're going to have to beat Auburn big. And you're gonna have to do it in a way that makes everybody go, wow, that is such a big win for the Crimson Tide. That's hard to ignore. They were able to do things no one has been able to do against a really good Auburn team. That's the only way I can justify it. It's the only way. And look, if there was a bevy of two loss teams, if we were talking about a Utah, Oregon, both of those with two losses, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. You'd have Alabama just hovering around waiting for the attrition to occur in Atlanta between Georgia and LSU. And that brings me to another topic, the fairness of it all, right? I think the one thing that bothers people about the idea of Alabama playing in the national championship race, getting into the playoff without playing in their conference championship like they did a couple years ago, even though they won it all. I think what bothers people is they don't get to play the extra game. And it's funny because the same argument as it was for Notre Dame last year, which was you don't play a conference championship because you're not in a conference. So you get all done and you wrap things up and then you sit back and then everybody else has got to play that one extra game that is trying to cement their resume. Is it fair for Georgia, for example, is it fair for Georgia to have to go play LSU in an SEC championship, knowing if they lose, they're out. But Alabama doesn't have to play that game and they could get in. Well, kind of, because Georgia lost to South Carolina. That's a terrible loss. So even though Georgia went on the road and beat Auburn, even though Georgia beat Florida in Jacksonville, Georgia still has to make amends for that terrible loss at home and beat Notre Dame nonetheless. They have to amend for that loss a little bit. So they need a little bit more meat on the bone, if you will. LSU, Oregon and Utah, the same thing. They got to play this extra game. And so while you can say play the extra game, that's great. If you're not going to automatically say that the team you have to play in your conference championship to even get considered into this thing, it does create an aura of unfairness when you don't have to do it. So there's been a lot of proposals on how to solve this, right? If you want to keep it at four, but should conference champions be the only ones considered? Now you may say, well, what if you're a three-loss team and you win your conference championship? Then you don't get considered. You take all the conferences and you pick the four best. And if you're a three-loss ACC team, you don't go in. Because you're not going to stand up to the resume of a team like that had one loss out of the Pac-12 or one loss out of the Big Ten. Or do you like it the way it is, which is the committee says four best no matter what? There used to be a joke when this thing was first formulated. Yeah, that's the key. There used to be this big joke, at least in the South, when this thing expanded. Well, you know what? We're going to call the college football playoff. Doing my best Southern accent because I'm mimicking a buddy of mine.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good. Keep it rolling.
All right. You know what we're going to call the college football playoff? The SEC tournament.
But
I thought that was funny because there was a moment where I would go, it's kind of true. Like we were talking about, there could be years where three teams could get in. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
if they were honestly picking the best.
I'm looking, because you mentioned Notre Dame, because they're always a curious one.
Right.
Right? I'm looking at their future schedules. They have a real shot next year if they run the table.
Give me their schedule next year, because I've heard Notre Dame does have a pretty good schedule.
Yeah, I mean, they're facing off Navy in Dublin, Ireland, so that's just going to be fun.
Navy, man, can run the ball. They're the best running team in the nation.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a good opening weekend, and it's in Ireland. How much fun is that going to be?
That's going to be awesome.
Arkansas, Western Michigan, yeah, Wake Forest, kind of easy right there. But right. Then they play Wisconsin in Wisconsin.
Yeah, not bad.
They have Stanford. They're at Pitt. They host Duke. They host Clemson. They're at Georgia Tech. They host Louisville at USC.
All right. That's not bad.
If you run the table, because I mean, I'm going to already assume Wisconsin, Clemson are definitely going to be ranked. USC is always that one that maybe they will be.
Right.
And Navy's always got a good team. Pitt sometimes can be up there.
Yeah, the one that stinks for them is Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm sure that was made years ago. Arkansas is terrible.
But, you know, just 2020, I mean, if they
putting Clemson on the board, facing Navy is no joke.
And it's Clemson late in the season.
Yeah.
It's November 7th.
Facing Navy is no joke. They'll run that ball down your throat, and you got to have the defense that can stop that. You know, guys that are spying, right? Guys that are, you know, tagging. You got to follow that. The Navy's they are a tough out.
Yeah, so I mean
that's gonna be interesting.
I'm looking at that, going, you know, that there's a real potential there for Notre Dame to be in the conversation, but they have to run the table.
They do have to run the table,
and I think that's the problem they're going to have year in year out is that they're going to have to run the table to ever be considered.
That's right. All right, so that's that's college football. We couldn't hook up with Ben Kercheval, so we'll try to get him on another day this week. Hey, I want to remind you once again, the Purple Seat Cushion. It's firm where you want it and cool all over and soft where you need it. Instantly adapts to your body, personalized comfort and support, and it's got hundreds of these open-air channels to keep you at a comfortable temperature, support you all day. You won't experience sitting fatigue. That's a real thing. I sit a lot, and I've experienced that. I'm sure you have too. This will help you because it'll also make you very comfortable as you sit all day, and it sits the test of time. It's ultra-durable. It can follow you around for years. Total no-pressure support, soft and firm. At the same time, can sit at work, at home, the game, comfier, and longer. Handles make it totable so you can take it from place to place. And it's different from the mattress because the mattress is formulated for lying down, where this is formulated for sitting. And that's a very important distinction. 30-day trial, one-year warranty, free shipping and returns at purple.com/seat cushions. Purple.com/seat cushions. Check them out. Again, if you sit all day, this could be the relief you're looking for. Purple.com/seat cushions. SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Really quick on Twitter, Michael, about the Hallmark issue, says, Hallmark, who doesn't enjoy a big city power businesswoman going back to her childhood town to have Christmas with her parents, even though she hates it? She's always on the phone and is rude to servers at the local diner and coffee shop. Yeah, that's kind of it. My favorites are the ones where the woman is dating the all business, all the time guy that has no time for Christmas.
Yep.
And then she goes back and she falls in love with some like handyman that's like working in the Christmas town. And she's like, oh, my fiance in the city is coming to see us for Christmas. I remember once I was watching one with my wife where this woman, I kid you not, this was the plot of the movie. This woman was flying back to New York to meet her in-laws. She was getting married to this guy. She was meeting her in-laws, but she landed in Buffalo and actually starred that girl from Full House, Candace Cameron.
Candace Cameron?
Yeah. And she landed in Buffalo, and it was snowing, and they couldn't take off and go to the city. So they got in a car. She got in a car with two strangers and a good-looking driver. And you know where this was ending up.
Please tell.
Driving through the snow from Buffalo, New York.
One horse on the sleigh?
They stop in this Christmas town that celebrates Christmas a lot. And they went into an inn, and they got to know each other and went to the festival and all that stuff. And when she got to the big city, she met her in-laws, and they were rich and rude, like always putting her down and always putting down everybody. They were the cartoon characters of rich people. So what did she do? She immediately broke up the relationship and wanted to date the driver from Buffalo.
Because that's who she needed to be with all along.
That's so dumb. So dumb. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that's great. I'm sure every person in a relationship is comfortable now watching these movies.
It's always the same storyline.
Always the same storyline.
They hate Christmas. Something bitter happened to them on Christmas. They have no Christmas heart. And they meet one person and a snap.
And it changes everything. Michael on Twitter, I know people in Atlanta that do not watch any sport, baseball, basketball, or NFL, except SEC football. That is very true. I have not lived in Atlanta. I haven't done work in Atlanta, but I've heard that about Atlanta.
That made a lot of sense over the last...
very big of the SEC. And other things just... they take a back seat to, like, Georgia football.
Well, I was going to say, outside the last 2 weeks, would you want to watch your Falcons?
That's true. Right? Or the Hawks, who've lost 6 of 7, I believe. Braves fell apart in the playoffs.
Do they still have a hockey team?
No, they don't. They used to be the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yeah.
They gone? And then they moved.
They got an MLS team that was pretty good.
They moved to Winnipeg?
Did they move back to the Jets?
I think they, yeah, maybe.